Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 82, recorded January 22nd, 2025.
Wow.
All right.
Yes. Yes. Control yourself.
Yeah. Control yourself. All right, man. It seems like we got a bunch of news to talk about, so let's get started right away. But it seems like it is trailer season. Tons of films are coming out over the next 2 months.
Oh, I'm just floored by boot, right?
Yeah. Horror is going to have a year of a year in 2025. Not like life itself is going to be horror, but we're also going to have horror films on top of that.
Well, yeah. At least those films will help us to distract us from the real horrors.
Yes, hopefully.
Hopefully. Hopefully. Hopefully. I mean, right, once I get rounded up and thrown into a concentration camp, I don't know if I'll be able to watch horror movies anymore.
Yeah. Shit.
A re-education camp, is that what they're going to call it?
Well, you know, Christian re-education camp. You got to get a bend the knee to Christ.
Or
crystal
orange
fascist.
Christ. Orange Christ.
Christ. Marmalade Mussolini. All right. Let's start with the news. Okay. Little Bites. I talked to you guys a little while ago about this. I got the premiere. Can't hear me still.
Well, it's buzzy again.
Yep. You're good. Keep right. going.
Could be the internet, I'm hoping.
Let's Keep see. Going. Yep.
All right. The production company Share. Bites is going to be streaming on Shudder February 21st.
That's better.
Yeah, it's hit or miss. I don't know what's happening here. All right. New trailer, Red Band trailer for the Monkey. In theaters February 21st. That looks pretty awesome.
It does. I haven't seen the new trailer yet.
It's going to be. I think it's going to be.
It looks like a fun movie.
Awesome.
Yep. It looks like it's going to be a fun movie. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I will say this: that I did read an article about the reviews for the premiere that was a week or two ago, presented by Neon and Beyond Fest here in Los Angeles. I tried to get into that premiere, but the tickets were gone so fast. Mm. But everyone that attended it has been posting on X and on Instagram that this is a fantastic movie, reminds them of Gremlins a little bit.
Gremlins!
And nice. That is hilariously funny and filled with lore. So awesome. I'm excited about that.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Opus trailer from writer-director Mark Anthony Green, starring Ayo Iberi. I'm sorry, I'm butchering the name. Iberi?
That's the
John Malkovich, Juliet Lewis, Murray Bartlett, Amber Midthunder, Stephanie Sugami, Young Mazio, a bunch of other people. It's in theaters March 14th. This is being produced by A24. A24 is financing the film, and A24 is going to be distributing the film.
It looks
so I'm very excited for this one. Yeah, it looks really interesting.
And that's the girl from the Bear.
That's right. That's right. And yeah. And John Malkovich. I mean, come on.
Plays like a cult leader.
Yeah, like it looks really great.
It does. It looks there's a lot of good shit coming out, man.
Yeah, so that trailer, Opus, excited for that one. Another thing to look forward to in March. Another trailer, the movie Presence. This one comes out January 24th. Only
they're not giving
now.
Anything away on that one either.
Not at it's all. Like, not
yeah,
at
I
all.
I know.
Again, by Neon Pictures. Look, at A24 and Neon are going to be our salvation for the hell that is 2025 cranking out these movies. Yes. Presence is a family moves into a suburban house, becomes convinced that they're not alone. That's it.
Yep.
The film is by Steven Soderbergh, which, hey, man, that's quite a name to go with it. We'll see what happens.
It can go so many ways. You know, it could be poltergeist. It could be, like, other people. It could be, like, you know, monsters.
They kind of allude that it turns the haunted house genre upside down. I can't wait to see it.
Nice.
Another trailer that I just came out today, Hell of a Summer.
Oh, yeah. Hell I saw you posted that. I didn't watch that one yet.
Hell of a Summer. Here's the great thing about this. This movie is directed by Finn Wolfhard.
Really?
Yeah. Hell of a Summer follows 24-year-old camp counselor Jason Mockbird, who arrives at Camp Pineway thinking it's the biggest problem is that he feels out of touch with his teenage coworkers. What he doesn't know is that a masked killer is lurking in the campgrounds, brutally picking off counselors one by one.
I think I do remember reading a little blurb about him working on. Is it a horror comedy or is it straight
horror? Yes, horror comedy. Yep.
Yeah, I thought I remember.
And it looks great. It looks like a good mix of funny and gory horror.
Have to check that out. I haven't watched the trailer yet.
Another film that we've seen a trailer for probably late last month after we already had our podcast, but in theaters February 7th, Heart Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
That one looks really fucking good.
It gives me Thanksgiving vibes.
Yeah, yes, sure. Yes.
But I like Thanksgiving, so you know what? I thought it looked good.
Yeah, this is Heart Eyes has wreaked havoc on Valentine's Day, stalking and murdering romantic couples. This Valentine's Day, no one is safe. Directed by Josh Rubin. It says that the cast is Olivia Holt, Mason Gooding, Gigi Zubato, Michael Watkins, Devin Sawa, and Joanna Brewster. Sounds like
anytime
a good cast.
Anytime Devin Sawa is in a movie, I got to check it out.
My man, Devin Sawa. All right. Another trailer, Drop. This is a horror thriller, and it's coming out April 11th. First date, nerve-wracking enough. Going to a first date while an unnamed, unseen troll pings your personal memes, and escalates from annoying homicidal to blood-chilling. The trailer looks pretty decent, pretty thrilling, and it's almost like... I'm trying to think of what movie. It reminded me of another movie, and I can't remember what it was. But the trailer for Drop will also post all. We're going to post all these links to our Blue Sky account and also try and get them on Facebook. But I can't guarantee that. Another trailer for the video game adaptation Until Dawn.
That also looks really good.
That trailer looks pretty good, too.
It did, for sure. I never played that game.
Neither have I.
It was good. It was a really good game.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah.
Did it seem very close to the game?
Yes and no. Yeah. I mean, the killer was the same, but it's sort of a choose your own adventure.
Oh, okay.
Like when you play the game, like you can hide or you can run. You know what I mean? So there's really no.
Yeah, the trailer says, "Can you make it until dawn?" Coming exclusively to theaters April 25th, 1 year after her sister, Melanie, mysteriously disappears, Clover and her friends head to a remote valley where she vanished in search of answers. Exploring an abandoned visitor center, they find themselves stalked by a mass killer, horrifically murdering one by one, only to wake up and find themselves back at the beginning of the same evening. Trapped in the valley, they're forced to relive the nightmare again and again, only each time the killer threat is different, each more terrifying than the last. Hope dwindling, the group soon realizes that they have a limited number of deaths left, and the only way to escape is to survive until dawn.
Sounds interesting. I thought the trailer looked good. Yeah. A little creepy.
Another trailer. The Woman in the Yard. This one is being released by Universal Pictures. Check out the official trailer on our Blue Sky feed. It's in theaters March 28th, 2025. A mysterious woman who repeatedly appears in a family's front yard, often delivering chilling warnings and unsettling messages, leaves the residents to question her identity, motives, and potential danger that she might pose.
It looked okay.
Universal Pictures, you know, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, like I said, it looked, I think I responded like maybe. I don't know.
All right. MovieWeb posted an interview with James Mangold talking about Swamp Thing that he's producing and writing and directing for DCEU. Just to remind everyone, James Mangold recently released A Complete Unknown. He was a director and screenwriter for that. He was director and writer for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. He was director and screenwriter for Logan. He also directed Wolverine and 310 to Yuma, amongst other films. He also has the new Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi as an upcoming picture that's in post-production right now. James Mangold considers his Swamp Thing adaptation to be a standalone horror movie. He wants to do something unique. He doesn't want to be tied down to the legacy of Swamp Thing, which, you know, makes feelings about, because I'm a comic book nerd and I'd prefer to have things stick to, you know, the legacy. But, you know, I don't know. James Mangold, hit or miss. I don't know if you guys watch, you know, Wolverine Origins. It's fucking terrible. It's fucking terrible.
It had a lot of promise, and it, they ruined Deadpool, man. They just
it was terrible. But Logan was good.
Yeah, Logan was a good movie.
You know, and it didn't stick to the comic book, which was fine. He still did a good job with it. So I don't know. It's kind of up in the air. I for one, you know, if you go back and you watch the old Swamp Thing movie, it doesn't really hold up that well. The special effects aren't that great. The story is pretty good, but you know, I have some nostalgia for that. It's going to be tough to sell me on a new Swamp Thing film, especially when you're saying, when you're saying things like, you know, Swamp Thing, I'm not going to stick to the legacy. I want to do something new. I don't know if you guys have been watching Dexter. We talked last month. We talked about the fact that the Dexter New Blood series has started, and now we're into, I think, the second episode is this week. Dexter Resurrection has started filming. That's another Dexter series. Dexter Resurrection is a new storyline that is basically picking up after the end of Dexter New Blood, which was the series that they had, what was it, last year or the year before? I can't remember. But still, Dexter's a good show. I liked it. I'm hoping that this is good. And if you guys have been here to visit me in Long Beach.
I didn't see any of it.
You've been here to visit me in Long Beach. You watch those shows. You see all the Long Beach stuff in the background all the time.
Fun.
Supposed to be Miami, but it's Long Beach.
The original one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on my queue, man. One of these days I'm gonna start watching it.
Well, I signed up for Paramount Plus. With Showtime, so I could watch the new shows.
Yep.
Along with Yellow Jackets, which season 3 is on the way out soon too.
Yeah, right? I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. It's a good show.
Yep.
Okay. Welcome to Derry. We talked about this 2 years ago when they first announced it, but it looks like it's coming out to HBO this year.
Nice.
At the moment, there's no dates. We just know that it is coming to HBO later this year. Or HBO Max, whatever the fuck they call that fucking channel now.
Yeah.
There's an article in thedirect.com that says basically the director is saying, hey, listen, not all the kids are going to survive. Even the children aren't safe in this series.
Wow. Nice.
It currently doesn't have a release date, but like I said, it is due this year on HBO Max. Welcome to Derry is going to bring another terrifying Pennywise story to audiences. And the series is going to be taking place in the 1960s. It follows a brand new group of losers, as the coined from the original, you know, from the movie, It's Chapter One, as they come face to face with the scariest clown that they've ever met.
Skarsgård again, too. I understand.
Yeah, it's great that they got him to play the role, because if not, I'm definitely interested in watching it now.
Yes. Sam Raimi has a new horror thriller in the works for 20th Century called Send Help. According to Deadline, Dylan O'Brien is going to be joining Rachel McAdams in the new Sam Raimi thriller, Help Me. Or Send Help, sorry. My understanding is that this film is a survival horror about colleagues who become stranded on a desert island. The only two survivors of a plane crash in the island. They must overcome past grievances and work together to survive, but ultimately it's a battle of wills and wits to make it out alive.
Interesting. I I kind of dig Rachel McAdams, so I'll check
her out. I do too, man. She was hot when she was young, and she's still hot.
It's unfortunate she was in that piss poor season of True Detective.
Yeah, what a shame. Yeah. You know, my daughter managed to watch all of season two of True Detective. She said, you know, in the end, it wasn't all that bad. I'm like, really? She goes, I mean, get to the end. It's not terrible.
I couldn't make it to the end.
Yeah, I know.
I couldn't do it.
I know.
It was hard to match season one. I mean, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dexter Resurrection, Uma Thurman is joining the cast, according to Deadline.
Nice.
Yeah, Uma Thurman has been tapped as a series regular to act opposite of Michael C. Hall in the Paramount Plus Showtime original series Dexter Resurrection. That's pretty awesome. I really like Uma Thurman. Haven't seen her in a lot of stuff lately. So
I was just going to say the same thing. I haven't seen her in anything for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess she's hit that age where it ends.
Yeah.
It ends at 50, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So this is a Dexter Resurrection is a present day follow up to Dexter New Blood. They started filming this month in New York City, and on X, Michael C. Hall did post a video from the set, which was pretty cool. Also, that launch pretty strong, according to Showtime and Paramount Plus, was the Dexter Original Sin. That's the new one about him when he was a teenager. Mm. So that one says they got more than 2.1 global views across multiple platforms for that for the first episode, which is pretty amazing.
That's the one with Sarah Michelle Gellar in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I like her too.
All right. We got a couple more stories yet. We got, 2 years ago, we talked about Toxic Avenger. During Beyond Fest, they had a screening of it. Everyone raved about it, and they kept saying it's going to get shelved. And Peter Dinklage is saying, somebody save this film. Well, guess what? It's going to be in theaters 2025.
Nice. Who saved it?
According to Variety, Toxic Avenger remake will finally hit theaters in 2025, and it's going to be an unrated film.
Whoa.
They were afraid.
Who's putting it out?
Here's the thing, right? It doesn't. The article really doesn't say who's going to be pushing this out. It says they had a hard time locking the distributor and determined that it was an unreleasable film due to the gore and graphic nature of it, and that trying to cut it down to a rated R was going to make it less watchable.
Yeah.
Like 31.
It says here, Cineverse has come to the rescue.
Oh, all right.
Cineverse has come to the rescue. They are going to release Toxic Avenger unrated film nationwide later this year.
Way to go, Cineverse.
Yes, praise Cineverse. Everybody give your money to Cineverse. Go see this film.
I will.
All right. We got one more here. We got Robert Eggers. So Robert Eggers, this is a Hollywood Reporter exclusive. The article just came out this afternoon. Hollywood Reporter interviewing Robert Eggers. He has a 13th century werewolf thriller story coming out as his next film.
Mm.
Yep. Eggers has co-written a movie called Werewolf. W-E-R-W-U-L-F. Yeah. Werewolf horror project that he will direct in his next feature. It's going to be released by Focus Features, and Focus Features is part of Universal's Art House division. They helped finance Nosferatu. They were excited with the results of Nosferatu and are backing this next film.
Speaking of Nosferatu, it's out.
Out on digital right now. Yep.
Is it really?
Yep.
Hmm. Yep. You can rent.
You can rent it. You can't get it. It's not on streaming, but you can rent it. And the 4K comes out in a couple weeks. I pre-ordered it already.
Yep.
But the werewolf movie is coming out Christmas Day 2026.
Oh.
Just like Nosferatu.
Wow. Yep.
It's got something with the Christmas releases.
Well, they pumped that out fast, though. That's a year from now. I mean, it must be pretty much wrapped up or close to it.
Yeah. All right. That is all for news. You guys got anything that you want to touch on that I did not mention?
Nope.
No. No, I got nothing.
Fantastic. All right.
I'm playing a video game called Among Ashes right now. Pretty good.
It's a horror one. What's the concept of the game?
It's actually, it's kind of fun. You're playing a video game inside a video game.
Oh, it's like Inception.
And it's a horror video game. And then, like, while you're playing, your buddy's texting you, and, like, you hear noises in your house, so you get up out of your seat and go meandering around the house, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it sounds kind of neat.
It's a totally new concept.
Third person? First person?
First. I know.
Yeah, I suck at first person.
Me too.
I mean, there's a lot of games that look interesting, but they're just...
It's not bad because you're not running around. Like, the video game inside the video game is, you know, like a pixel. It's not...
I get disoriented playing first person.
You won't with this one.
Yeah.
Like I said, it doesn't...
Maybe I'll look it up once it goes on sale.
Yeah.
Is it PlayStation only, or is it multi-platform?
I'm not sure. I think it's on other platforms.
All right.
And it's pretty cheap now. It was only like $15 or $20, I think.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to five flicks to watch on a streaming service.
All right. Five flicks to watch on Stars. I don't think we've done Stars. And if we have, it's been a long time since we've done Stars.
Who the fuck has Stars?
Who has Stars?
All right, let's go.
Why?
You're gonna laugh, but to be honest,
from Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
You kept it, right?
I'm just fucking lazy as shit. That's all.
Wow, I did not keep it. When that show was over, it was gone.
And every once in a while, there's a movie on there that I want to watch. It's not on any other services, so you know, it's
interesting. All right, it's
still around.
It's the list, man. All right.
So, five movies to watch on Stars. We got The Crazies, the 2010 version, not the original, but Timothy Olyphant. I mean, that was a really good movie. I liked The Crazies. Saw that in the theater.
It was a decent remake.
I think that's on Paramount Plus now, too.
Is it?
Yep.
All right. Nice. So. Saw 10, another great movie. Like,
the Saw movies are on Paramount, too, I think.
Maybe Stars and Paramount have the same shit.
Yeah,
they might.
Which means I can get rid of Stars then, I guess. All right. Third one is The Blackening. I don't know if you guys have seen that one yet. That was also a 2023 movie.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a great concept of that movie. You know, it was a comedy horror, but
it was good though.
Great concept. Don't Breathe. Loved that movie. I was pleasantly surprised by why when it came out.
I don't know that's one it's on my list, but I don't know where to watch it.
Well, it's on Stars.
Yeah.
Watch it on Stars. Now you know where to watch it.
It was a good one.
Oh yeah, real good. I mean, the sequel, which I when you watch the original, you're like, how the hell are they going to make a sequel to this movie?
You know, it's a Fede Alvarez film, so it is a decent film, man.
Yeah. And the sequel wasn't bad either. Like, I was surprised, like I said, because how do you make a sequel to that? Well, you haven't seen it then. And my last one is Cocaine Bear, which was a great horror comedy.
I didn't watch it.
It was surprisingly good.
It's part of a. It's sort of a true story too, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure it's over exaggerated, but
dude, and the gore in it is phenomenal. There's so much gore in it, like it was a good movie. So those are my five flicks to watch on Stars. If you don't have Stars, then you know you can probably watch them on Paramount Plus.
Fantastic.
Except for Don't Breathe.
Excellent. All right. Oh, man, the air is so dry here.
Yes.
Doing all this talking is killing me.
You need a lozenge. You need the Werther's Original.
Yeah.
Well, that'll make me shit my pants like an old grandpa.
How about a Cherry Luden?
Cherry Ludens. Oh, shit. I might have a Cherry Ludens. Give me a second. I might actually have one.
There you go.
Hey, there you go. Hey,
look at you.
Some good shit right there.
You need the box with the plastic.
the wax paper box.
Wax paper.
The best was when they like got older and they started to get a little like chewy because they got moist.
Yeah.
All right.
Not a sponsor, by the way. Not a sponsor. All right. For those of you playing along at home, normally we would do our top five lists. Actually, this time it's the top 10 list for the year. We're going to pause that and do it at the end of the show as we are watching a film that was released in 2024, and we're going to review that.
And there's a possibility it could be on our lists.
Possibility it will be on all of our lists.
Yeah.
All right. The film we are reviewing is the 2024 Coraline Fregate film, The Substance. Let's just read the... Oh, what is happening here? Let's just read what we got here. The Substance. Have you ever dreamt of a better version of yourself? You. Only better in every way. You should try this product. It's called The Substance. It changed my life. With The Substance, you can generate another you. A younger, more beautiful, more perfect. You just have to share time. 1 week for one, 1 week for the other. Perfect balance of 7 days each. Easy, right? If you respect the balance, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
All right. One. This is directed by Coraline Fregate, produced by Coraline Fregate, Eric Feller, Tim Beaven. Screenwriter was Coraline Fregate, distributed by Mubi. The production company was Working Title Films. It is rated R for graphic nudity, gore, language, strong violence content. The genre is horror drama. English language. It was originally released in theaters September 20th, 2024, and then released to streaming October 31st, 2024. The box office gross was $16.5 million for a 2 hour and 20 minute film.
That's not a lot, is it?
No, no. I'm pretty sure they spent most of their budget on the actors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because there's really only three main characters in the entire movie.
Right, yeah. Right. And they were all fucking A-list actors. And the special effects were mostly practical, which was fucking
impressive.
Amazing.
Impressive. Yeah. If those were there was a couple times that I was like, there's got to be some CGI involved in this scene. And we'll, as we start talking about the movie, I'll tell you where I was like, it's got to be CGI.
And I know,
right?
Let me tell you, I know exactly where a couple of the CGI scenes are because I watched the behind the scenes documentary about it. There is a 30-minute version of the documentary. A summary of the documentary is available on YouTube. I'll send you guys the link. I'll also post it in our Blue Sky feed for those of you on social media so that you can watch it too. This is one of those films where I was lucky enough to get into the Beyond Fest screening of it with a Q&A session with Coraline afterwards. What a fucking film. And let me tell you.
Has she done another stuff?
Yeah, she did a rape revenge film a handful of years ago. I think it was called Revenge.
I think I remember that it's on Shudder.
Yes, and it's very gory and it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, they said it's like off the hook, like really good. It's on my list and I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but it's
That's her first horror film, her first horror genre film, and it was magnificent. It was so let me just say it was so good. Released as an independent film. This is why Universal Pictures gave her cash to make this film. Because they were like, that film was amazing. This film was also amazing.
I watched it twice now because I watched it last month. And then I watched it last night again because, you know, I wanted to have it fresh in my mind for this show.
I too watched it today also.
It's one of those movies like and I remember the first time I watched it, the new one, how it was a good horror movie, but it was also like a great movie. Like, it was just a good movie. There was so much about it that was, like, just great, besides being a horror.
Yeah, and it's just a well-done film overall. Yeah,
the cinematography was great. The effects were great.
Really crazy.
Cinematography was fantastic. The way they cut some of the scenes was...
Or the close-ups.
Oh, my God.
The eyeball. Just, yeah.
The lingering too long, just like one thing, you know, and the music and that wah 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 wah, like in the background, like it was such a great use of visuals and sound, and the acting was phenomenal. Like,
Coraline Fregate said that she had what she referred to as the lab, which was like a bulk of the budget was spent on experimenting on visual effects, experimenting on not visual like computer effects, but practical ways of making the effects she needed, but in a cheap and practical way. like even the scene where by the way, let's stop right here and say it's going to be a spoiler filled review, because there's so many things to talk about this. There's no way to avoid it. But what I'm going to say is stop right here. Go watch this film. If you haven't seen it, which is hard to believe that if you're a horror genre person that you haven't seen this film yet, if you haven't, go see it now, because it is so fucking good. So good.
On many levels. Like,
not only that, the message that it conveys is perfection.
I think to me that was the most horrific part of the movie was that message. Like, it made me feel like, especially as like a dude who has occasionally objectified women, because that's how I was raised, hot chicks, you're supposed to like look at them and
Playboy had a big part of that, right?
Dude, like I was just like, wow, this is
It made you think, and it made you go, fuck, is that really, like, women go through that kind of existential dread and anxiety?
Craziness, right?
And you get the whole, like, gamut, too, of the way that attractive women are treated and must feel, and then how semi-attractive women are treated and must feel, and then, like, ultra-gross, disgusting women. And I'm sorry for saying that. Yeah. I really am sorry for saying that. How they must feel, because we're all human beings, right? Like I felt bad. I felt like there's a couple times I laughed and I was like, am I supposed to be laughing here? Cause I probably shouldn't be laughing, but.
And all the proof you need that this is a great film is that Demi Moore won the Golden Globe for best actor in a comedy, sci-fi or horror.
She had so many. Her range in that movie too was just great. You know, from stoic to like flipping her shit, I think one of my favorites was when she was like, you know, she had like half of her shit drained out of her and was cooking from the French cookbook and watching her young self on TV and just like getting pissy and like yelling and like that was a
control.
Yeah, when she comes out of the closet and there's like chicken bones and shit everywhere, and she's like, control yourself.
Oh, dude.
All she does is sit around on her fat ass and watch me. There is no her.
Are one.
Which to me is the message there is about self-loathing. How women can be so manipulated by their environment, by society, that they cannot love themselves.
Yeah.
And that when you are now forced in these two individual roles, she could not love herself. She could not get along with herself.
And I think that was one of the parts of the movie that hit me the hardest was when she was deciding whether she wanted to like end
at the end.
End it.
Yeah. Should I terminate it? And then she's like, no, I can't.
And it was so hard for her to do that. Right.
And she's the only part about me that people love. Like she's the only thing that people love me for, my youth and my beauty. If I lose that, I have nothing. Like I'm like, oh God. So she's willing to put herself through that to give that part of her. Dude, you know,
it was heart wrenching, man. Heart wrenching.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, so I just want to go back and say, now that we're spoiling everything, okay, there's a great scene when she injects herself for the first time and then she falls to the ground and her back is splitting open and they show these like red lights coming at you. That was all practical. They put lights on these two spinners, filmed going in at the camera. They had the spinners. They turned the lights off. They did it from a couple different angles. They used different lenses. Like the majority of that film had no digital enhancements. There was a handful of scenes, less than a handful, three scenes that I know of that they talked about where they did slight digital enhancements. Even the scene at the end where she melts into the star, a blend of physical of her face in the rubber mask and then a transition into an actual practical wax version of her that melted away, that they used heat guns to melt away.
Really?
Yeah. So much practical stuff.
So Monster Elizsu, that final thing when Demi
Moore's
like
the star.
Face was like that was like they were actually like jammed together in like a body, or were they were just The way they
shot it, that they had her face, with the lace over it. They filmed that scene, and then they filmed the scene with Margaret Qualley, and they, edit the two together perfectly. It was just fantastic that they didn't have to do any digital bullshit to make it all happen.
Dude, that Elisu monster was
Monstero Elisu.
Yeah. I loved how they put that there too. Like that was just like big letters. I was like, that was beautiful. Like, because they introduced each one of them when they became, and I was like, nice.
Yep. They did Elizabeth, then Sue, and then Monstero Elisu.
Sue.
Yeah, that was fucking great.
And you wanted to be repulsed by her like everybody else was, right? But then when she started saying, I'm still me,
Dude, the one scene where my daughter was like, what the fuck? Is when the boob comes out of that hole and like falls on the ground.
I was like,
what the fuck?
Is that a boob? It's just like, and like, I also thought it was funny, but then I felt bad too when she was putting her earrings on and like she was just kind of sticking them
where her ears on top of her head. Yeah,
and it's like it's kind of like polishing a turd. But then I was like, I felt bad because like she's just extremely ugly, but she wanted to make herself still look pretty. Like, and I was like, man, I shouldn't feel this way about that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
ugh.
Craziness and the amount of blood. During the Q&A session after the screening I was at, Coraline said they shopped around a couple different theaters. Like, they wanted to shoot it practical in a theater, and then they're like, you know what? No insurance company would cover them on the cost of revamping the theater after trashing it with all that blood. So they used a full soundstage in France, and they built a theater in the soundstage. Wow. In order to film that scene.
Nice.
The Gore, I was telling Carmen, like, it's Gore concert.
Dude, but it was like 20 times the amount of blood that Gore had.
I know.
And the great thing is, the way they filmed that is they had a camera. So Coraline had the Monstero head that she wore with a camera attached underneath it and the blood tube right above it. So they could show the perspective of the blood shooting everywhere from Monstero's head. It was fucking amazing. Just amazing.
So that scene, like in my head, like I was thinking that was also symbolic, right? Like, so the self-destruction of that star, the blood that was then spewing all over the audience was symbolic of the blood was on their hand. Like her
created the monster.
Yeah, and then like her destruction was their fault. Like that's why they were all getting sprayed with. They created it, and then it I was like, man. Yep.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, that's the thing. Same thing I thought about.
It was gory as shit, but it also had meaning, which is I think it's great when you could take just like thousands of gallons of blood and have some meaning behind them. That's brilliant.
The scene that I also found very moving was, after the first time that Sue extended her stay,
mm-hmm.
and Elizabeth had the finger, got all crooked and gross looking, and she was like, I she tried, she battled with the idea that I can't let the other me be the end all of everything, right?
Right.
So she found the phone number from the high school buddy that she ran into, and she thought, I'm going to go on a date. She called him, lined it up. They spend like 15 to 20 minutes of her getting ready, and then she goes into the bathroom and like, my breasts are let me put a scarf on and cover that a little bit. And then she's like looking and, well, maybe there's too much blush. And then she goes out to the door looking in the doorknob and she's like struggling just to have enough confidence to leave the house.
And this guy's like, not for nothing, but probably the geekiest guy in her class. And she
could not muster enough self-love to get out the door.
But he also showed her the love that she sought,
Sure. Yeah. That's why she called him back.
Yeah.
But then she just couldn't do it.
Wasn't enough to motivate her. And then she rubs the makeup off and she rips the fake eyelashes off. And she said she filmed that scene five times. And she said her skin was raw by the end of it. just rubbing off all the makeup and
the scene itself was raw. I mean, the scene itself was raw, so I could see you, like just the angst that like she conveyed in that was. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, number one, like Demi Moore is what
63
years old, right?
They were fake bodies too, I think, right?
Well, here's the thing. Her breasts were real. Margaret Qualley's breasts were fake.
Yeah, they look kind of fake. They look kind of fake.
So Demi Moore's were real. Okay.
Demi Moore's were real. Margaret Qualley's were fake. It was because Margaret Qualley, was not chesty enough to be the younger version. Well, she's not chesty enough to be the younger version of Demi. So they had to pump them up a little bit, you know, with fake ones.
Gotcha.
To me, it seems like there's a lot of very intimate shots of Demi Moore in the film.
Yeah, for sure. Like when she's on the floor, like writhing around, and like she's like completely nude. I was like, man,
a bunch of times.
Yeah. Or when she was in the shower, like having that meltdown after the whole fucking Sue, like going for weeks on end, and she was like, her hair was gray and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the only scenes that I had a hard time with was that when she does come out and she's like basically like this super old lady, and she like wants to go get more of the substance, and when she gets up out of that chair and she can barely move, her legs snaps and like, you know, and then all of a sudden she's sprinting around. I'm like she like came back and then like I was like, where did she, like, how is she all of a sudden now just, like, moving all over the place?
You could notice, though, you notice that, here's the thing, right? Because she was sitting on that chair for the whole week. So she was a little stiff.
Okay, so it just took her a while to get up and get, okay. Right. All right, is that what it was? Well,
even when she was running around, notice her gait is different, right? Yeah. Because she is older now, because this drained some life from her.
A lot of life.
A lot of life.
Which I thought was great. That was great, the scene where she meets that guy in the diner that had the thing on his hand.
Yeah,
that was the guy who got her onto the substance. He's like, "Has she started to eat away your life yet?"
Yes, yes, yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, oh shit! Like this is that dude, and like he's."
Well, and then you think, what a fucking dick for like turning her on to it. Like, he's suffering and it's like misery loves company.
But it was the younger version of him. The younger version still is like, you know, hey, I'm loving life. The
greatest thing ever. Yeah. Fuck! What a fucking film, man. And then the most brutal scene outside of the blood scene was when she tries to terminate it. She loses her mind and says, I can't. She does the transference and Margaret Qualley, they become two individuals. Margaret Qualley character Sue just beats the fuck out of Elizabeth.
Does, man.
Like the amount of strength, because when she's holding that bathroom door shut and she's kicking and kicking and you see the hinges starting to come off, it's like, God damn. That scene was just absolutely
She amazing. Beat the crap out of her. Like just
kicked
like
her
just
across the
destroyed
room.
Destroyed her. And that's what like and then they had to remind you again, like, you know, you are one.
Yeah.
You know, like now you've just basically killed the Matrix.
Yep. And then she goes to do her New Year's Eve ball thing. Into the bathroom and her fucking tooth falls out.
Yeah.
And then while she's in the elevator, her ear falls off. Yeah. And I love how they change the sound design. Like all of a sudden, like you hear muffled up.
There were some good sound effects in that movie too. Like
dude, the sound design was amazing.
I like that too. When he's like, smile. And she's like, you know, she's got no teeth. And she's like,
like when Dennis Quaid's eating his shrimp and they just the microphone's like right there.
It's to tell you how gross he was, right?
He was great too. Well, I mean,
right, because they were trying to show that for men,
he's a pig.
Be as old and as ugly as you want
and disgusting,
you're still in power, right? And it was one of the things that I remember the night of watching the premiere. I came home to my daughter and I said, man, they made Dennis Quaid like look horrifically gross, like the way he was eating the shrimp, and they used wide angle lens, so like his face was slightly distorted.
His teeth were like
and then Coraline forget said during that scene he ate 2 pounds of prawn. She said they filmed it a bunch of times. He ate 2 pounds of prawn.
That's a lot of prawns, man.
Yeah, I'd say. What a fucking movie, man. Like you said, you saw it twice. I saw it 3 times because I saw it during the premiere. No, actually, I saw it 4 times. I saw it during the premiere. I saw it in the theaters on the opening night. I watched it with my daughter, and then I just watched it again today to refresh my memory before our show here.
Yeah, my wife and daughter both watched it and loved it too. So,
yeah, my daughter loved it. My sister loved it. I got a bunch of other family members to watch it. They're like, "Holy crap, what a freaking film!"
I can imagine too. Even though, like, I think you know, we kind of get the message behind it. It probably still hits different when a woman watches it.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Like they probably feel it a lot more than we feel it. Like
absolutely.
I'm an empath, you know, and I understand and I can try to feel it, but I probably don't feel it the way that they feel it.
No,
you know?
Definitely not. Yeah, definitely not. I mean, I tried to, you know, have some empathy and be like, yeah, I mean, to be in their shoes, I just couldn't even fully experience or understand that. Mm-mm. But I do believe that it's got to be terrible. Yeah, what a freaking film. And then when Demi Moore did her acceptance speech, that was moving too, because she said she never won. I didn't know this. She never won a single Golden Globe or Emmy or any of that stuff for her work in her career. That's fucking crazy.
And I don't usually watch those award shows, but I just watched her acceptance speech, and it was great.
Yeah.
And she did some crazy shit too, right?
She did a lot of great films.
Shaved her head for G.I. Yeah, Jane.
G.I. Jane. Dude, she did a great supporting role in
A Few Good Men.
A Few Ghost. Good Men. That was fucking amazing. That was an amazing supporting role.
Ghost. Yeah,
she didn't win. Ghost? Holy shit. How many fucking Oscars did Ghost win? She didn't get a single one for that?
I personally loved her in Nothing But Trouble.
Again, another great film. Oh, wow. I mean, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And I didn't realize Margaret Qualley was Andy McDowell's daughter until I found it out. I was like, oh, shit, that is Andy McDowell's daughter.
I think she looks a little bit like her. Like, I knew right away that it was her daughter.
I didn't at all. Really? And then when I read it, I'm like, okay, I can definitely see it now.
And she's been in a lot of great films, too. She was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. She played one of the girls at the ranch.
Kim watched something called The Maid. It was a show on like Prime or something like that. And she said Annie McDowell were both in that.
Yeah, she was in a ton of great stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I love that film. I ordered the 4K of it because I cannot wait for it to come out. And I'm going to say I give that film 5 stars.
Wow. I'm going 4.
I'm going 4.5. I'm close to a 5, but I have a hard time giving something a 5 because, you know,
yep.
I don't know. I'm going 4.5.
4.5 it is. American Nightmare Podcast, 4.5 stars for The Substance. Their marketing campaign was great too. I got a little pen that looks like a needle. The Substance on it. It's got yellow liquid in it.
I got an envelope from, because I subscribe to
Fangoria.
Fangoria sent us a special envelope along that looked like the envelopes for the movie. Nice. And when you open it up, it had like a little mini Fangoria magazine in it and a card that said, you are one. And then it had like the two little like D's or whatever that symbol was on it. I was like,
yeah,
that's pretty cool. Like Fangoria getting in on like the.
Plus, if you call the phone number, you get the answering service for The Substance.
That was the coolest thing, too. That guy, whoever that guy was, that answered the phone.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Write this down.
Yeah.
The guy is such a dick. Yeah. I'd like to see who the guy was that did that voice, because he did a good job too.
Control yours.
I just love that scene. All right. That's fantastic. All right, let's get to our top 10. This is the top 10 films that we enjoyed during the 2024 calendar year.
What a year it was for horror.
What an amazing year.
I have ones I'm leaving off the list, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
The list this month is Sal, Chris, Craig. All right, let me get started with this. My number 10. Destroy All Neighbors. One of the first films I watched this year, and it really was a fun film. I really enjoyed it.
That was a fun film. I thought it was great.
My number nine is Maxine, the third in the trilogy of the X trilogy. It was a good film. I really enjoyed it. It was very different from the other two films, but it still was good.
Yeah, of the three, it was my least favorite, but it was still a good film.
Yeah.
My number eight, Infested. That one really, as being a foreign film, a French film, was really great. Really enjoyed it.
Creepy spider movie, man.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with spiders, dude. My number seven, In a Violent Nature. Very unique film.
Yep.
Filled with a lot of silence, but yet a very unique take. I enjoyed that one quite a bit.
And some brutal killings.
Brutal killings. Really, even unique, never seen before on film killings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My number six, Alien Romulus. It was a fantastic take on the Alien universe. And definitely,
another one coming.
Right. Yeah. Another. This one's a sequel to Alien Romulus. So I'm loving that.
Now, that took place between Alien and Aliens, right?
That's correct. Yeah. My number five, Sydney Sweeney in Immaculate.
Mm. This was a film.
This was the year for feminist films.
For sure.
And they were all very impressive.
I love the ending of that one.
Yeah.
That ending was just intense.
Dude, when I saw the premiere of that one, I think I told you guys, like, while I was sitting in the theater waiting for everyone to get seated, they were playing Jesus music.
Oh, jeez.
Nice.
And then at the end, like, I couldn't help but the gasp at the end of that film.
Yeah, that last 5 minutes was so intense.
Yeah. Yep. My number four, another feminist film, The First Omen. Okay. I loved The Omen as a kid. Yeah. And this one is a follow-up to that. The way they even tied it in as a prequel at the end, fantastic. Loved it.
I agree. It was a nice. Some of the other Omen like sequels were just okay. This was a nice.
Oh yeah,
one.
Yeah. My number three, Long Legs. What a great film. That was a good, scary film.
Yep,
it was
very made me very uneasy. All the images of the jump, Satan in the background. Like a lot of people that I talked to, like I never saw Satan in the background. Dude, he like shows up five or six times in the background in the shadows.
And from the jump to that first 10 minutes, like it just starts out with a bang.
Yeah, a literal bang. My number two, Nosferatu.
Okay,
I mean that film. Let's put it this way.
Saw it
on Christmas Day with my daughter. Yeah. She went back to see it with her friends two more times.
I enjoyed it. It was a good movie.
Yeah. My number one, The Substance. To me, that was the end all be all of horror films this year. And it's a shame that it's going to get snubbed at the Oscars. I'm telling you right now, it's going to get snubbed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that happens to horror flicks, right?
Yep. There's no respect for genre films. All right, Chris, your turn.
And we're not doing honorable mentions, right? Because we have 10. So
yeah, there's 10, no honorable mentions.
Okay. It was tough, man, because there was a lot of good movies out this year. So
there sure was.
Some of them got bumped off the list, and you know, I still enjoyed them. So my number 10 is The First Omen. I also really enjoyed that film. Unfortunately, I watched that right after I watched Immaculate, and so
me too.
Immaculate just ruined the First Omen for me. But it was still a really good film.
Yeah.
Number nine for me is Terrifier 3. I'm a sucker for Art the Clown, and there's some great brutal
gory one. That one
it's a slasher flick, and I like slasher movies. I don't expect a whole lot of them. So number eight for me is In a Violent Nature. Again, some great kill scenes in that.
Yep.
The long scenes of him walking through the woods were somewhat funny. Because it was just him walking through the woods.
Yeah.
Number seven for me is Infested. I also thought that was a great film. Spider movie. That one scene where they had to get down the hallway.
Had me on the edge.
Yes. Great scene. Number six for me, Late Night with the Devil. I thought that was a really interesting take on a movie. I thought David Dallas Moshon played a great role.
Hasn't been done before, right?
I thought it was great.
Yep.
Number five for me, Strange Darling. What an interesting film that was. Shot out of order, so it kind of keeps you disoriented throughout the movie. It's
the ending was crazy too, right?
Yeah, dude, yeah. like that, and I think that's why they shoot it out of order, to kind of keep, like, so you don't know what's going to happen at the end. I was really impressed by that. Like, caught me off guard. I had read a couple things about it, and I was like, yeah, let me watch this tonight. Really good flick. Number four for me, Long Legs. Man, Nick Cage in that movie, like, just creepy as shit. And yeah. And the movie was just eerie. The entire movie, I felt uneasy. Number three for me, Immaculate. The end of that movie, just, like, it sticks. I'm going to always remember the end of that movie. It's one of those things, like, people say Immaculate, man, that last, like, 10 minutes of that movie were just...
And that movie almost didn't come out. We almost didn't get made.
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney saved it, right? Like, yep. She put her own money in to save that movie.
Yeah.
God bless you, Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, what a film.
Number two for me is Heretic. I loved the concept of that movie. I Hugh Grant was awesome in it. The religious over there was a lot of religious movies that came out this year, and I hope that they don't stop coming out. I got a feeling that those movies who knows
become close to reality.
they might become or the movies themselves might become like underground.
Might
flicks.
Get you can. Yeah, they might get banned. They may not be available in theaters in the future.
But I thought the idea behind that movie was just great. And another movie where the last like half hour of it just was like, damn. And my number one is The Substance. I mean, it was all around. Just a phenomenal movie. Bravo to the people who put that movie together.
Yep.
That's my list. I had so other
sort of had a Dorian Gray kind of story though too, right? Kind
of. Well, I think Coraline Forget said she sat down and wrote this thing because she had this idea to portray something, and I think she's just brilliant. She said it took her like a year and a half, 2 years to write the whole thing out.
Yeah.
But man,
I'm looking forward to seeing more stuff by her.
Like while I was watching, I was like, it kind of had Dorian Gray, right? It was like,
the
ugliness and sort of, kind of. All right.
Great. So
my number 10, I saw the TV Glow. I don't know if you guys probably.
I haven't watched it. Okay. It's in my queue, but I keep jumping over it for other stuff. I'm not sure why.
Is that an A24 film?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Or Neon? I don't remember. It's.
I think it might be Neon.
It's
one
Neon.
Of two.
You're right. You're right. It's Neon. It's Neon. Yeah.
It's different. It's not gory. It's just different. But it had me like just sucked in, like the whole movie.
I've heard
like,
it's a really good film.
Yeah, it's totally different. Totally different though.
Different's good.
Not like anything I've ever seen. Yeah. Number nine, I went with Heretic.
Yeah.
Again, kind of a unique,
great film,
unique movie.
Hugh Grant was great.
He was, and I hope people appreciated that. And
well, I'm excited for you guys to see that Thatcher girl.
Sophie Thatcher. She's been in a lot of stuff too. She's a great actress.
She's in at the end of this month. That
she's
new horror movie.
Yellow Jackets too, right?
That's correct. She plays the young version of what's her face?
Juliet Lewis.
Yeah. You guys, the end of this month, Companion comes out.
Companion.
That trailer looks amazing. I can't wait to watch that movie.
Dude, I saw the early screening of that one, not knowing anything about it. Again, audibly gasped at least four times during that film.
Nicely.
Yeah. Like, wow. I was like, oh.
Go and see that for Valentine's Day, I think.
You should. You should. You won't regret it.
But yeah, I hope he does other stuff other than rom-coms like he used to. And I think this is kind of help him just with some other roles.
Yeah, he was great, I thought.
Number eight, I went with Oddity. I don't know if anybody else had that one on.
No, I didn't have that one. It was a good film, but it just didn't rank up there with all the
others.
Yeah,
I said, it was tough because there were so many good films that we watched I watched this year. And,
it was quite the year for independent films, too. I mean, there were so many really good independent films that came out.
Yep. Number seven, went with Late Night with the Devil.
Great film. Yep. Almost made my list.
Yep. Number six, I had Salem's Lot. Nobody had that one on there.
I haven't watched it yet.
Highly anticipated that movie, and it didn't disappoint.
It was good. It was good.
It didn't disappoint. And I didn't see, Nosferatu, so I mean, I got other stuff there.
Dude, again, too many films to try and rank and narrow them down to 10, man.
I know. Number five, I went with Alien Romulus.
Yep, very good.
Definitely top five for me. Yeah, what a great movie. Number four, Immaculate.
Yep. All of us have that on the list, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Number three, First Omen.
Yep.
I had a hard time, but I think First Omen was just a little scarier, I guess.
Yeah. If you freeze frame at the right point, you get to see a jackal dick with a little bit of spunk on the tip of it. A little bit of spunk on the tip.
Nice. I'll have to watch it again, I guess.
Well, you know what happened? There was a scene where, like, Flash, and I go, look, what the fuck? That was a subliminal of a fucking jackal dick. I know it was. Started rolling back. Frame, boom. Jackal dick right on the screen, and there was a little spot of spunk on the tip of it. I was like, what the fuck?
Nasty.
Number two, I went with The Substance. You guys both had a numero uno, but number one is Long Legs for me.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. All right. Wow. That's
a lot of similar movies. We had a lot of similar movies.
It's because we all appreciate great films. Come on. Actually, that's why we're doing the podcast, because we have so much in common with our interests in horror films that we almost pick the same shit most of the time.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. Great, everybody. What a year. What a fucking year.
Yeah, and 2025 is looking like
things.
Best so far, I think, right? Yeah, since we've been here.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Well, that is the end of our podcast. And I want to take a moment to, number one, thank everybody for listening. I really appreciate it. You know, we do this kind of to entertain ourselves. We're not making any money off this. We don't have any sponsors, any of that crap. We're doing it to have fun because we love horror movies. We like talking about horror movies. We like talking about horror video games and TV shows and shit. So thanks for listening in and coming along on this ride. If you want to give us any feedback, which no one ever does, but I'll say it again, as I always do, you can call us and leave us a voicemail, 1-562-247-5855, or you can email us at feedback@the-american-nightmare.com. Hit us up. Give us a top 10 list. Give us a movie to review. 2024 was filled with horror movies, and I'm sure we missed something out there that somebody thought was the greatest horror movie of the year. Let us know. Tell us what we're missing. Other than that, we will be posting another episode next month. Thanks for listening.
Peace out.